Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
I think you're going to see this New England Patriots team behind that guy right there, Drake May, make a playoff appearance.
The future is bright with him. I think they got a good one. I think they know that. He's where he wants to be and is developing the way they want him to. And, you know, when they talk before the season about surprise teams, you know, that they're improving. There's always teams that miss the playoffs one year and make it the next year, at least four. That's been the, you know, Jacksonville and New England were a couple that were mentioned around the AFC. So Vrabel, they hang on to the ball. They hang on for the win easily. 42-13.
Final hour, Jones and Keith. Patriots Monday here on WEEI. If you want to hear Patriots quarterback Drake May, you can tune into WEEI Afternoons. He joins them every Patriots Monday. Right here on WEEI. You can listen live on the Audacy app as well. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Patriots 42-13 winners over Carolina yesterday. They're 2-2 through the first month of the year, which is the minimum of what they had to do, Keith. I think when we went through in the preseason, we both had them 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
I had them losing in Miami, but winning the Vegas and Pittsburgh games, and then also
it doesn't matter how you get there,
winning this Carolina game.
Right.
So I had them 3-1, but 2-2 is, you know, right within shouting distance of that. You couldn't have started 1-3.
Right.
With the big game on Sunday Night Football against the Bills in Buffalo. First of three on the road, but after this Bills game, and I think they can make a statement by not even winning the game, it's at New Orleans, at Tennessee. Easy games, although they're both on the road. Home against Cleveland. Defense has been great. Who knows who will start for them at quarterback. And then Atlanta on November 2nd at home, who just lost a week ago, 30-0 to Carolina.
Right.
So,
now, I don't know. It opens up. Schedule opens up a bit.
That feels like a string of wins that you can let your mind wander and wonder what this team is capable of doing based purely on a blowout over Carolina yesterday. It's crazy how much the one win does change the whole trajectory, because if they lost that game, and even if they held on tight against a bad Carolina team, we might feel a lot different. This lets you look at the remaining schedule after Buffalo and go, boy, there's a lot of potential wins right there.
Well, I'd take it one step further. If they beat Buffalo, it is going to be like, remember in 2021 where you're like, I think the Pats are going to make the Super Bowl and play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Should we get ready? Should we travel to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And you're like,
no, they're actually just fake good.
Yeah, man. Weren't they the betting favorite after like week 10?
Yeah, were they 9-2?
I remember specifically Ryan Clark comparing Belichick to God. I specifically remember that, so I don't know if they
That's
were
That's what it was. No. It was after they beat Buffalo in the wind game.
Yeah.
They went into their bye week 9-4.
Yeah.
And the AFC was kind of like open, I guess. And then they lost two of their final three and then got waxed in the playoff game. But there was definitely a lot of hype then. Like, people were all fired up. And you're right, you'd only be 3-2, but if you beat the Bills, it's like that's like feels like 10 wins. And you're like, oh my God, now like sky's the limit. But I'm with you. I would take just a competitive performance. I think that's also a statement that could be made.
I'm sure we'll have criticisms if they lose the game in a close game, but they can make a statement by hanging with Buffalo on national TV. And that means a statement to the rest of the country, like, oh, Mike Vrabel might have the Patriots playing well. Now, look, you get blown out. Maybe we feel differently. But the schedule really opens up after that.
Oh,
and
my God,
when we say yesterday was more about the Patriots than the Panthers, and trust me, the Panthers are horrible. That's why I feel that way, because there's a lot more teams like the Panthers on the schedule coming up for the Pats. And I feel better about it, too, because of the way Diggs played. Yeah, I said this a bunch, Keith. I was wrong about Diggs from when they signed him. I didn't think he'd be back on the field this soon. And I didn't think he had a 100-yard game in him on Sunday. Like, going into the game, I wanted them to feed him more.
Yeah.
I didn't think that many would have 100 yards and look as good as he looked yesterday in a game where they throttled down early in the fourth quarter because they didn't need to throw it. They only threw 17 total times in the game yesterday. So I just don't think or didn't think that's what Diggs was capable of doing or would he be able to do yesterday. And that does change my outlook on the offense. If you have a number one, even if it's not Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chase Brown, even if it's not one of those guys,
right?
This offense hasn't had a guy like that in how the last time was Edelman before he got hurt.
I was going to say, it was like the 2020 version of Edelman who got hurt right away. Like, he looked good early, had that
week two against
Seattle. Yeah.
That's the week two against Seattle is the last time they had a receiver capable of this.
Well, the last 1,000-yard receiver was Edelman in 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been so long. And so you're right. You need that guy that is the clear-cut number one. And then it allows, you know, Hunter Henry to have big games like he's had already this year. Or, you know, maybe the backs. And it seems like each of the backs could even take turns on being the top target in the pass game. But, yeah, it's not riddled with all pros. You know, he's not lining up back there like he's with the Eagles or even like the Niners when they're healthy. But it's so much better than it's been the last couple of years. Plus, also, you got to put it on the quarterback, too. Like, he needs to play well, which he has. And that's going to make the offense a lot better. Because you see guys – now, this is the extreme. I'm not comparing him to Mahomes or Allen. But they don't have a lot of guys around him. No. Like, literally, Mahomes comically has Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster to throw to.
Yep.
And has four touchdown passes yesterday and whatever. But, I mean, he's as good as he is. But it goes to show you that – the supporting cast is very important, but the quarterback is still the most important. So at some point, you'd have to sort of put it on those guys to get the most of what's around them.
Text line says, what is hanging with Buffalo? We said if they quote-unquote hang with them, they can make a statement.
Like, is it a one-score game in the fourth quarter?
So they're 8.5-point dogs, I think, when I looked this morning. Maybe it's moved. But I thought I saw they were 8.5-point dogs in Buffalo on Sunday night. Also, the game last year at Buffalo, they lost 24-21. Drake May was a rookie. He went 22 of 36, 261, two touchdowns and a pick.
7.5 now.
7.5.
Oh, yeah. Sucker's better buying opportunity.
I still think it's a buying opportunity, but I would have rather have bought at 8.5.
Yep.
Six carries for 30 yards. And what were they up in that game? 14-0 right away? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But they were up in that game. Mm-hmm. I want to say 14-0. So something like that. Where last year, that team really felt like it was going nowhere. Drake started the final game of the year. Milton replaced him. They won a game they probably shouldn't have late in the season.
Well, like, you feel it in these games,
something
too. Like, as you
like that game in Buffalo last year, to me, would be hanging with them.
Well, I think there's also, and it's not always the score necessarily. It's hard to, like, give you an exact score or separation. But, like, in the fourth quarter, there are games where you're like, Team X still has a chance. Like, do they still have a chance? Or are you just like, no. Like, there's, like, the momentum of the game. Like, I know they're only down 10, but, like, Buffalo's controlling the game. Like, they're completely dominating the game. We all know when we see it. So, I think as long as it's still, like, anybody's game back half of the fourth quarter, you're like, good for them. Like, that's good. That's at least a sign of, you know, improvement and something that they really weren't capable of the last few years.
Drake May was talking about Steph Diggs after the game. That connection was looking pretty good. May noticed a little something in Steph Diggs yesterday that he hadn't seen. Let's hear from the Patriots quarterback.
I just closed it. Hold on.
Drake May. Yeah, will be on the afternoon show today.
Oh, yeah, you can check
him
out.
How about Drake May and Marcus Jones?
Oh, big day. No, you know what? Big day to talk to Marcus Jones. You're right.
Great day to talk to Marcus. It's always a good day to talk to Marcus Jones.
Here is Drake May on Steph Diggs.
Drake, you had told us during the week that, you know, you wanted to get going with Steph and find him. How good was it to kind of see him get behind the defense on a couple of plays and for you to find him?
Yeah, he looked a little faster than I thought. He looked pretty fast. I think he's just keeping me more comfortable. Sure, he's a great player with the ball in his hands, and he's a great leader on this team. You know, he's great with energy, you know, being positive, and, you know, glad he's a Patriot.
Okay. Looked a little faster. I do. He dropped a golly yesterday, too. Did you hear that?
Golly is a good one.
He dropped a golly and shoots every other word.
Any shucks out of him yet?
I haven't heard of shucks.
I feel like he could be an aw shucks.
Do you think his mom calls him up and she's like, hey, Drake, if you keep that up.
Cool it with the mouth.
We're going to have to get the soap.
Yeah. You're getting a little loose there. But exactly. I heard a golly. I heard some shoots.
Shoot.
But no, I actually agree with him. Steph Diggs looked more explosive yesterday than he had. Now, that might be Carolina's defense. Or it could be a guy looking healthier, further and further removed from the ACL. But a 33-yard play is by far the most explosive one he had. He had the back shoulder catch on the near sideline on fourth down as well. So those were big, explosive plays that we hadn't really seen out of him.
Yeah, because part of it was we're like, hey, you got to get him the ball more, get him the ball more. But then there's also like, well, is he going to do anything with it? Like, are we just wishing it because he has been good in the past? But no, yesterday was good to see that because I thought we saw flashes of it in even the first game of the season where I was like, is he even out there? And then just before you were about to say that, he'd make a nice play, right? Or he'd catch the ball on the sideline. You're like, okay, he can do it. But still, it was really like wishful thinking, like that he was going to be able to have a game like yesterday. So he's going to feel great about that. I mean, we're less than a year ago. He blows out his ACL on the field, and now he's back. He's already played four games this year and a 100-yard game. Nothing to sneeze at. I know Booty had a 100-yard game week one, but that's another stat that was pretty few and far between. We mentioned the 1,000-yard receiver, but even just the one-off good game was not very common for the Patriots offense the last 5 years.
Nope. So look, I thought Diggs looked as good as he's looked in a Patriots uniform, which is self-evident. I also like that, A, the targets went back up. Targets had been going down the last, I think it went 7-5-3, something like that, going into this game. He had 7 yesterday, caught 6 of them for over 100 yards. And secondarily, I like the way Diggs has been talking for the last week or so. I like his answers. I know he's been a problem in Minnesota and Buffalo. I assume he was probably an issue in Houston as well since they didn't want him back. So that's been part of his story. But the last week plus especially, I like most of what he said, including in the post game yesterday. So I think that's trending in the right direction as well. Meanwhile, Keith.
Yes.
This continues to come up. I guess Wiggy was on this earlier today.
All right.
We read you the tweet this morning. A.J. Brown on Twitter, after 2 catches on 9 targets for 7 yards in a win.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
The Eagles are 4-0.
7 big yards, though.
Jalen Hurts couldn't complete a pass in the second half of that game. So A.J. Brown takes to social media and says, quote, "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene.
No.
Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." Okay. So that's A.J. Brown after the game.
We'll see.
Mike in Laconia wants to discuss that. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, fellas. How we doing today?
Pretty great.
Pretty good, yeah. So I did. I heard what you mentioned that today. I thought that'd be a pretty good addition to our team. Maybe let it go for a second-round pick, maybe a third. I don't know, but I think that would complement Steph, and that's intriguing. But also, I wanted to find out how many times are we going to line up in the damn neutral zone?
Good question. If it's Kalavon Chasen, it's going to be more.
Just trying to get that little extra edge. You want to get, you know, whatever advantage you possibly can.
If it's Kalavon Chasen, he's going to keep doing it until Vrabel benches him. Vrabel disciplined no one. He disciplined no one yesterday.
Yesterday was, what about Ellis? Anthony Jennings.
What about our guy Ellis?
Is Ellis lining up in the neutral
zone? Oh, no. But, like, missed tackles, I feel like that's discipline. But wait, you're talking
for what that. Were you, I thought Chasen had...
Yesterday wasn't Chasen. It was Anthony Jennings.
Well, Chasen had a penalty. It wasn't a neutral zone one. Whatever. He's been lining up constantly wrong.
He got the one where it was, like, a phantom face mask, I think. Like, he hit him in the helmet, but wasn't really a face mask.
Regardless, Vrabel has disciplined exactly no one. And I guess it worked out. Team responded. So, it's not how I would have handled Ramondre or Pop or some of the penalties. The guys who continue... to get flagged over and over and over again. Christian Ellis benched for the second straight game and then got more time after the blowout was on because Gibbons did play pretty well, Keith, to your point, in there. Look, I'm all for them trading for A.J. Brown. I don't know that he's actually going to be available. And if they do, they wouldn't give up what it took to get DK Metcalf. They wouldn't give up what it took to get George Pickens to then turn around and pay those guys. I doubt they do it with A.J. Brown, too. But, of course, I'd be on board with A.J. Brown.
Oh, my God. In a second. I'd trade a first-round pick for A.J. Brown.
I was just
going to
say.
McCollum mentioned second and third.
What do you think he'd cost?
Well, he might not cost a first. Guys go for less all the time now. Now, he initially went for a first, but he was 4 years younger when he got traded from Tennessee to Philly, much to the chagrin of Mike Vrabel. And we've seen guys like Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams previously and some others go for a first. He's still under 30, which could maybe warrant at least asking for a first. But if he actually did get traded,
maybe it is a second and something else or two twos, but whatever, like legitimately whatever it is, I would do it for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and I think if you have any qualms about his production this year, I think you saw everything you needed to with A.J. Brown in the second half last week where they were down to the Rams, they had to throw, and he was dominant. But the rest of the time, they don't really need to throw a lot in Philadelphia. They don't.
No, Barkley's having a down year too.
He is.
But yet they're 4-0. Brown and Barkley haven't done much, and they're 4-0.
They play defense.
Yeah.
They run well. Yeah. They do the stupid tush-push nonstop.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, maybe A.J. Brown will get disgruntled over it and he'll wind up leaving town because of it, but he can still play. He showed it in the second half against the Rams. But, again, I don't know how realistic it is, A, that he moves, and B, the Patriots are that team. I mean, Metcalf was awesome yesterday. George Pickens was awesome on Sunday Night Football. As far as I could tell, they showed no interest in either of those guys. Those were receivers that were available that could have upgraded the receiver room, and they showed zero interest.
My hope would be the Mike Vrabel connection is different than that.
That's fair.
Where guys would say, well, I don't really know DK Metcalf. Like, we're good with what we have. Or I don't want to give up anything. If Mike Vrabel was going to tell his guys we need to go all in for a player, I would think it'd be him more than anybody else. Because remember, there was some of that talk in the offseason, but then it got poo-pooed, and Philly's like, no way. And obviously Philly winning the Super Bowl, it would have been crazy probably for them to deal him right in the aftermath. But it was already somewhat rocky, and you're like, all right, well, maybe winning the Super Bowl will move on from anything. But I don't think A.J. Brown has completely forgotten how he feels overall.
No.
And if he doesn't like getting, you know, Jalen Hurts thrown on the ball at his sneakers and then them just being like, we can win with running and defense, that's not what he wants to do.
No.
He wants the ball more, and he should.
What'd you think? You were asking me about this. What'd you think of the lack of discipline from Vrabel for Stevenson? And, I mean, Pop Douglas had his snaps scaled back, but to your point,
I think that's
scaled back against Miami. That could just be where he's at in the offense.
I think especially with the emergence yesterday of Steph Diggs really having a good game and then not really throwing the ball much, Pop Douglas was their fourth receiver anyway. I'm waiting for him to get passed by Kyle Williams. Like, when is that going to happen? But, yeah, Pop Douglas not really – I think, or did he get passed?
I think he did, but how many of those were late when they kind of changed things up? I think Williams did play more.
I know Kyle Williams had the carry, but he didn't get targeted in the pass game either.
No, although there was a play in the first half, they had a play dialed up for Kyle Williams where May was looking for it, and
they had it
covered, but they had a play action pass dialed up for Kyle Williams.
But
down
specifically
the field.
To Ramondre Stevenson, I guess the one thing would be he did kind of tell us this.
I lied. Williams only played 14 snaps.
What did Pop play?
Oh no, that is, you're right. It's eight. He played. He did play more. So he's
fifth receiver then. So he's this close to being inactive anyway, regardless of him knowing how to run forward for a yard.
How much of those are again? Once the game was over, I don't know the full breakdown. No, he did end up playing more snaps. So look.
No, but the Stevenson thing, we talked about it last week. I wouldn't have played him. I wouldn't have cut him. I think that was too reactionary. But I would have not played him.
I would have cut him.
No, who, Ramondre?
Oh, no.
I'm talking about Ramondre.
I would have cut Pop. I wouldn't have cut Ramondre.
Pop, see you later. I'm saying Ramondre.
I would have taken
crazy.
Both their uniforms.
Yes.
And Vrabel didn't. So
I didn't like that, but he did kind of tip his hand. So it's the opposite of Mayo insofar as last year they're like, hey, Mayo, are you going to do anything? He's like, yeah, he's not going to start. And then he starts. There's just no communication
at
with these guys.
At least the messaging is clear.
He was like, this time, he's like, we got to play our best guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he still clearly thinks Ramondre is their best guy. And I think he made it clear to Josh, too, like, first play of the game, give him the ball.
Yeah, no, that felt like a message.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I just think...
It could pay off.
It could.
We'll see.
But
if he fumbles again, fumbles on Sunday Night Football against the Bills...
Much of it is that you guys have seen all of Ramondre's fumbles? For Vrabel, Ramondre has fumbled twice.
Yeah, but Vrabel knows.
Yeah, okay, but you got to know.
But first of all, he fumbled the second time because Vrabel didn't sit him down.
And the second time was like in the end zone, practically.
Now, he didn't get any goal line touches.
Look, that's true. Yeah. Gibson got those, and Henderson eventually got one yesterday. That is true.
Look, on any time touchdown with Gibson!
If I were Vrabel, I wouldn't have sat him down week three either.
Yeah.
I would have let him stay in there after the first fumble against Pittsburgh. But Vrabel knows the history. And Vrabel was asked about this early in the offseason. About Ramondre. So just because Vrabel wasn't the coach here doesn't mean he doesn't know Ramondre Stevenson's fumbling history. The Steelers were well drilled on it. They knew it. They were coached up on it. And so it exists whether Vrabel was here or not. So the lack of a message, did the team respond to it this week? That's hard to tell. Carolina's awful. But yeah, if you keep going to Stevenson and you didn't send a message and the fumbles come back, that's going to be a reflection on Vrabel. But for 1 week it worked. Give him credit for that, I guess. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, your thoughts on the Patriots at 2-2.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two going into a big one on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills this weekend on Sunday Night Football. You'll hear from Drake May and Marcus Jones today on WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.